So I want to start off this morning with a scripture. And I sent it out to the leaders earlier in the week. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18, and it says this. Now, before I read it, I want you to hear that this scripture, it starts off with an encouragement, but it ends with an encouragement. There's something of encouragement in this scripture that's wanting us to know and wanting us to hear this morning. And so verse 13 starts off and says this. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Some of the translations says, daily encourage one another with these words. It starts off, it's saying, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to miss out on what this is. I don't want you to not know this. And specifically speaking about those who have fallen asleep. And now for all of us sitting here this morning, we are very much alive still. And we're moving forward and having to move forward. But it's because of what God wants us to see. Because for us this morning, we feel the hurt. We feel that pain. We feel that sense of loss. God is saying like, yeah, in this place, don't not feel the loss. But don't lose hope. Because those who have fallen asleep, and it's actually quite interesting when you start looking and working through the New Testament, that those who are referenced to be in Christ, meaning those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it never shows to them as being dead. It always speaks about asleep. Even with Lazarus, Jesus said, I'll come and wake him up as if someone that is asleep. And so there's something in that for us that if we get caught up with the emotion and the loss that we forget and we lose sight of the hope that is set before us. See, this scripture takes and says, we need to look at Jesus. Can you imagine that day when Jesus was crucified and the disciples that have walked with him, that walked this road and see what he's done and see who he is on that cross, saw him hanging on that cross and breathing his last breath. This was the Savior. This was the Messiah. How can this happen? How can this happen? He's gone. 3 days later, Jesus comes out of the grave and he speaks hope into them. He says to them, like, from now on forward, this thing is going to be different. From now on forward, death doesn't look the same than what it always has seemed like. From now on, it's different. Death has no hold on us. And so this morning, I want to encourage you towards that hope. That we do not grieve like those who have no hope. Because if we grieve like those who have no hope, we're saying the resurrection is not really valid. If we say the resurrection is not really valid, we say, what did Jesus really sacrifice himself for? And so this morning, we are those that pick up that hope that was given on that day. And we move forward with it. Because we know, 3 days later, Jesus stood up. He stood up. It's not a fable. It's not a Marvel comic. It's real. It's real. There's never been one since. And there'll never be someone else that is gonna happen with. It was Jesus. It was real. And he's gonna come back one day for each and every one of us with all those that have fallen asleep. And he's gonna take us with him. And we're gonna live forevermore into the everlasting. So the word hope is something that we see in a lot of things. Hope, love, faith. These things are thrown out quite easily. And we kind of start creating meanings for these words. But I want to show us this morning. So in general, in English, the word hope actually means something of, we say it in the way of going, I don't know what's going on, but I hope this is not going to happen. It's kind of like this, you don't really know. It's not really a certainty. There's not really a, there's not really a definite. I want to say to us this morning, church, that our hope that we have in God is not wishful thinking. It's not something that I hope is going to happen. It's not something that I'm kind of like, it can go 50-50. There's no 50-50 for us this morning. If we are in Christ on that day, where if we are fallen asleep or if you are alive, you're going to rise up with him. There's no wishful thinking about it. There's no 50-50 about it. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming and he's bringing his children with him. And in that this morning, we can revel in that. That God is with us. That our hope that we have this morning, it's a hope that is alive. It's not a hope that is dead. It's not a hope that's going to get disappointed. No, no. It's a hope that stands through any situation, through death, through loss, through sickness, through health. That hope stays constant. Because it's not about the situation. It's about the one who is the hope. And that is Jesus. One Peter 1 verse 13 says this. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's set your hope. The enemy wants to come to us in this time. And say to us, you have no hope. He wants to say to us, hey, look, you guys fasted for a day. You came together 2 times, 3 times. You were praying in your room, praying for healing, praying for God to come through. There's no hope. That's what the enemy wants to say to us today. But I want to say to you that for Desiree, for Sean, for Clive, that went through all of that, not one moment was there no hope. I remember just Sean saying to Varushka, who was probably about a week ago, but more than a week ago, sorry, was 2 weeks ago, saying to Varushka, Varushka, after this, when I stand up, out of this bed, we're going to run. We're going to run for God with everything that we have. And I want to say to you, church, I don't see Sean as not running. Sean is running much faster than what we are running right now. See, we can look at these things from the side of, we look at them from time. But God is outside of time. When God says to us, this hope that I've set before you, it's not something that's just for this life. If it was just for this life, then the preaching that we're doing here this morning, the love that we show towards God, it's all in vain. This life is not about today. It's not about tomorrow. It's not about next year. It's not about anything in this life. It's about Jesus coming back. It's about Jesus and Him coming back and taking us with Him into the everlasting. That's what this is about. So when someone like Sean or Desiree or Clive, when they move on from this life, we should be the ones celebrating. We should be the ones going like, man, they're seeing Jesus glorified. They're seeing Jesus lifted on high, exalted in the fullness of what they can. For each and every one of us here this morning, we know that, man, in our hearts, there's this deep desire to say, God, I want to know you with everything that is inside of the fiber of my body. Amen? But we know this body is working against that desire every single day. For Sean, for Desiree, for Clive, there's no more fighting this body. They get to be fully with Him. And this morning I want to say to us, our Christian hope is something that God promises. And it's something that He comes and He shows Himself as faithful. And that's why this morning we can hope. Our hope is not in this life. It's not for the things of this life. But our hope is for the next. In 1 Peter 1 verse 24 to 25 it says this. For all flesh is like grass. And all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Our hope is set on the word of God. Our hope is set on these promises. Saying, Jesus, I'm coming back soon. I'm coming to take you with me. But this morning, I do want to show to us what it means to not have hope as well. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 69 says this, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to those who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. When we have no hope, that is what is left for us. If we're not in those that are in Jesus, this is what's left for us after we pass away from this life. But in Jesus, we have Him coming back for us. And so this morning, I want to speak to us and say that it's so important for us to know who our Jesus is. It's so important for us to revel in the fact that He is Jesus that died, Jesus that risen, and Jesus that was exalted into heaven. And that when we read these things, it doesn't give us a cause to have no hope. No, it gives us the even more of a cause to have hope, because we know that this is not for us. But what is for us is a time of seeing Him. And that's what Sean and Desiree is seeing it, and Clive is seeing at the moment. So what is hope? What then shall we say to these things? Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is our hope this morning. God has given us everything. Everything to settle us. Everything for us to hold on. Everything for us to push through. In 2 Corinthians, we read of our bodies and this house being a tent. It's just an earthly tent. But through the scripture, it speaks of this in verse 8. It says, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or awake, we make it our aim to please Him. In this life, this is our body. This is our home. But our hearts are towards the next. With His presence and to be with Him is our home. But whether in alive or dead, or whether in this body or in the next, our aim is always to please Him. Our aim is to love Him. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to love Him. I want to encourage us to pour ourselves out at His feet. Because there's no other place where we can find wholeness. Nothing else in this life will make us whole. Nothing else in this life is going to make us feel like, now I've got a handle on this thing. It's only within Him. Because with Him, He gets to fix our eyes on eternity. Without Jesus, it's impossible. It's impossible to see God. It's impossible to know God. But with Him, we get to see Him. With Him, there's hope that is blown and is breathed over our lives. And we get to fix our hearts, our emotions, not to the things of this life, but to the next. And so many a times, we sang it earlier this morning, of the things of this world that go strangely dim. And so many times we fix our eyes on the things of this world being the cars, the money, but I want to say to us, the sorrow, the despair, all these things, the trials, the tribulations, they are part of the things of this world that grow strangely dim. I was, during this time, so reminded of the story of Narnia. And I think it's the third movie, it's the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Where the story has this little mouse called Rippichi. I think it's right. Yeah, Rippichi. Rippichi kind of, they have this, as they go on this voyage, they come to the land of Aslan, or to the country of Aslan. It's not Narnia. And it's crossing over from this life into eternity. And they come to this island, and it's this beautiful island in the movie now. So just, it might be different in the book. But they come to this beautiful island with this wave that kind of is just breaking at the top the whole time. But it's not moving. It's not crashing over them. And Aslan starts speaking to Rippichi. And Rippichi is going like, just take me into your country, Aslan. And it's such a beautiful picture. And I see this morning, I see Sean, I see Clive, I see Desiree standing in front of that wave with Jesus on their side. And Jesus is inviting them into the kingdom of the everlasting. And part of that story is Prince Caspian. And Aslan extends to Caspian the invitation to join Rippichi in going into the country of Aslan. But Prince Caspian says, no, there's still some things I know I need to do. There's still some battles, some things I know I need to fight. And for this morning, for us, that's what I see for us. I see each and every one of us standing in front of Jesus and waving off our friend, waving off those who have prayed for us, those who have battled with us, knowing that we're not saying goodbye. We're sending them into a greater place. We showing them off with a gunshot of honor and going, well done, you've run your race as best as you could. So now go and enjoy the spoils of the victory. But for us, we go and we're going to fight and carry on fighting the good fight. Because we know we're coming back to you one day. And we'll tell you of the battles. We'll tell you of the victories that God has caused for us. Romans 8, verse 37 to 39 says this. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this morning, as alive as what we are and sitting here in these seats, this is our hope, that we are with Him. This morning, as much as Sean, Desiree, and Clive is with Him, there's nothing that's able to separate them. There's nothing that's able to separate them. In the scripture, we always look at the bad things. The rulers, the no height, no depth, no angels, no demons. Like, we always look at these things. But it says, for I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor life can take us away from it. So this morning for us, I want to encourage us. And I want to ask us, where is your hope this morning? Where is your hope this morning? Is it in the comforts and the things of this world? Or is it in Jesus this morning?